Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's slightly rainy out there, but nothing that you can't deal with, I'm sure, especially if you're inside. So please give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are very much in need of your participation. That's very, very important. So we'd like you to give us a call with a question or answer. You can't give us an answer right away because we haven't asked any questions, but you can give us a question. And those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio. I don't think there'd be any more Chuck Berry this week.
You never
know. I'm giving him a warning look. But
you can never, what did they say from outer space? Send more Chuck Berry.
Well,
apparently not here.
The show is not done in outer space. Yeah. Not yet, anyway. And, of course, whatever Kira has brought in. So
more Chuck Berry.
I doubt it very much. Yeah. We know it's not going to be
Chuck Berry page underneath all the rest of them now.
We've pretty much established it's not going to be any James Taylor. So anyway, so it's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER. It's all strung together in one word, and that is at yahoo.com. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do it anywhere in the world, and believe it or not, I have, at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available very soon after our show tonight, because Debbie always does her usual brilliant job. That will be available at kalw.org. Okay, all that being said, we will start with a round. Just a quick reminder. A couple people sent me emails last week saying that they couldn't hear us very well. I don't know if it was on the live broadcast or not, but when in the podcast, our voice levels were a little low. If it's like that again this week, let me know, and then we'll see what we can do about it. Okay. All right.
That was good.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Very good. Is this on? Yes, it's on. And it's a start anyway. Okay, so we will start with the round of introductions. And here's the first. Kira Pace also doesn't understand how NATO works, so she wonders how much she can build Germany for. I put the emphasis on she because you had it underlined.
I did. Well, other people are building Germany. I want to know how much I can get.
All right.
From Germany?
From Germany.
Yeah. Well, yeah, build them and see.
Yeah. Lori Fisher is happy that the Final Four has finally been determined, and he is happy to hang out with the Bulldogs, Ducks, Tar Heels, and Gamecocks, though he has no idea what those last two are.
All right.
I don't. And unlike our Secretary of State, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has no objections to being followed around by reporters. Now he just has to find some to do that.
Yeah, I'm working on it. All right, we'll begin with Kira Pace.
All right.
Or Kira Pace.
All of them will do. All right, so since Easter is kind of coming up, I have a few questions for you called I Want Candy. So the first one.
Are these religious or candy questions?
Oh, they are. They're religious for candy lovers, I suppose.
Excellent. All right. Okay.
There you go.
According to the online statistics database Statista, what was the most popular candy bar in the U.S. in 2016?
We've had various forms of this question.
Well, the winner for quite a long time, more than a few years, has been Snickers.
And it is the winner for 2016 as well.
Which yeah. I've never had one up because it has peanuts in it. I don't like peanuts.
Oh.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
I don't like Snickers.
All right.
Well, you should give yourself a bell, though.
I like Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Three Musketeers are delicious.
Yes.
In the 1960s, what candy bar ran a commercial produced by Stan Freberg in which Frank Nelson plays a company executive who mocks the product's name, saying, and I quote, "That is without a doubt the lousiest name for a candy bar I have ever heard."
Oh, I've seen this commercial. It's a typical Stan Freberg, but I can't. What is? Do you
know? So it's a current candy bar as well.
It does still exist. It's
But you don't see it.
You don't
that
see
much?
It all that much, but you can get them.
And it has a bad name, right?
The lousiest name.
Yeah, the lousiest
name. I'll say that about this candy bar, there's no chocolate to melt, so there's been a resurgence in popularity among U.S. troops in places like Iraq and Afghanistan because they don't melt.
So it's a non-chocolate candy bar?
It's a non-chocolate candy bar with a terrible name.
Huh. Oh, Henry.
Nope,
that's
not
got,
O'Henry.
That has chocolate.
Oh, that has chocolate?
Yeah.
Okay.
And peanuts.
All right.
Charleston Chew.
Not Charleston Chew.
Oh, that's chocolate.
No, that's chocolate. Oh, how about Turkish Taffy? But that's not a candy bar.
Oh, like Turkish
Debbie,
Delight?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, you see,
no,
it's horrible.
Or Turkish Paper or whatever. Oh, my gosh.
Debbie,
that's punishment candy.
Debbie suggested Bit of Honey.
No, not Bit of Honey.
That is a no chocolate horrible candy bar. Yeah. But it doesn't have a horrible name.
And it's
right.
You
so
break
this is
your
the
teeth
other way
on
around.
That, too.
I think the candy bar is probably fine.
It's a candy bar.
It's a candy bar.
But it has
that's
no chocolate.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct.
And it has a lousiest name ever for a candy bar.
So if you guys want to think about that, I have one more candy question for you.
Sure. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so TV actor and, let's face it, folk hero BJ Novak brought what candy product to his late-night interview with Conan O'Brien in 2007 to prove that, contrary to what the candy manufacturer had been claiming on its website, the product size had, indeed dramatically decreased over the previous couple of years. So it got smaller.
Despite them saying it was the same size.
Right. They
as
said, we haven't changed the size. You just grew up until BJ Novak showed up on
just
Conan.
Proved it.
Well, I know that's a lot of crap because all kinds of candy bars are smaller now than they used to be.
Yeah well, that's what he proved. BJ Novak. I think there was a rumor about Three Musketeers shrinking up, and they said you couldn't share it as easily with your two buddies, but it's not that.
It's not that. It is timely for the season.
There's, is it? Oh, for the season.
Yeah.
For the Easter season.
I was going to say either Twix or Kit Kat, but it's not. Oh, for the season.
Yeah.
But the name has nothing to do with that.
Mm-mm.
That's not candy corn, obviously.
No.
for the season. All right, I have to work on that. All right.
All right.
And you go ahead, Tuler.
Okay. Despite what you said, I am going to ask the James Taylor question. We'll see.
I said I didn't think Kira was going to ask.
Yeah, well, Kira might know.
She doesn't like it.
So, James Taylor, one of his first really famous songs was Caroline in My Mind. Right. And there's a line in there, Holy Host of Others Standing Around Me. It's a line written by two people in the room performing with him. Who are those two people? And there's a second question. And what Beatles songwriter gives credit to James Taylor for the first line of a hit song that the Beatles had? It's taken right from a early James Taylor song and put in a Beatles song.
Right.
So, the Holy Host of Others Standing Around Me, Still I'm on the Dark Side of the Moon. Anyway, who are the two people that he's referring to? Very famous people, musicians. They're on the song. And what Beatles songwriter gives credit to the very first line of his song to a line from a James Taylor song?
Oh.
Okay. So, Dark Side of the Moon, is that a clue?
It's not. Yeah. It's just the next line of the song. But good.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm out.
All right. Me too.
And I have one additional short question. This is from my son who sent it to me. Where does the term taser come from? What does it stand for?
It's
right.
It comes from Star Trek, doesn't it?
No. But that's not
because they had tasers.
That's not
on
a
Star
crazy
Trek.
Thing.
It still has the same azer meaning that laser and maser have, right?
It does not.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
does
partly,
it come from a?
It's in a way a pun on that. The person who invented the name took the azer, but said no. It had whatever the A-S-E-R stands for, laser and maser, not taser.
Okay.
So it doesn't come from either a TV or a literary source.
I didn't say that. Okay. I said it doesn't come from a Star Trek source, and in fact, it does come from one of those sources, a literary or TV source.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an unusual acronym because at least two of the initials refer to a character or a person, unlike laser and maser.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's thank you, son, for that one.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Hayward.
Hi, Garrett.
Sorry for my long absence.
Sorry for your what?
His long absence.
My long absence. I didn't call you because you moved to a new studio. You had the studios were being remodeled.
We're back.
Well, yeah. Okay.
about the Beatles song? I couldn't hear it, but what was the question?
Oh, the Beatles song is, what Beatles songwriter gave credit to a famous Beatles song to James Taylor, taking a line from one of his songs?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Did you know that James Taylor, he made his first album for the Beatles Apple label?
That's true. That's relevant to this question. That's how they knew him. They were the first person they signed who wasn't a Beatle.
Yeah. I have a couple questions for you regarding Chuck Berry. What Beach Boys song sold the rhythm from Sweet Little 16 and Brian Wilson admitted it?
Surfing USA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a lawsuit. This is interesting. And now, if you look up the sheet music for Surfing USA, Chuck Berry has a credit for it. He shares all the royalties. Yeah. His estate does.
I'm surprised the members of Black Sabbath didn't sue the guys that wrote La Vida La Volca because they stole the rhythm from Paranoid.
Ah.
Here's my second question. Who was the only other cast member of Royal Mind Slapping besides Dan Rowan and Dick Martin remained throughout the show's six-season run, including the original special?
So the only Laughing cast member that stayed the whole 6 years?
Just one?
Yeah.
How about Artie Johnson?
No, not Artie Johnson.
Is Ruth Buzzy?
Yes.
Oh,
right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do you know that show?
I do know that show.
That's great. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, they recently started playing the final season of Moron's, which was not syndicated on the Decades channel.
Of Laughing?
Yeah, which was never said when they originally syndicated the series in 1983. They did not include the final season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Gareth.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you a couple questions that are as far away from those ones you've asked as possible.
They weren't sports questions, you know.
All right. If you're like me, you've been watching the Supreme Court hearings with Judge Gorsuch. There are probably a lot of you who are not like me in that respect.
Is that an introduction to the question at all?
In a way it is. Yes, it is. So what was the first time that the Senate Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on a Supreme Court nominee? In other words, who was it for? They didn't do it for a long time.
Well, the first one I ever saw was Clarence Thomas.
No, this was before television.
Okay.
But it's for a very famous justice. And so I want to know the first time that the Senate Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on a Supreme Court nominee, and who was it for and why?
Was that on the radio? Is that how it was held, or was it just open to the public?
It was just open to the public, yeah.
Right, and wasn't carried on the airwaves.
It was not carried on the airwaves.
Wow. And there was a reason you said why. So something unusual happened.
Yeah.
So go back. How about Earl Warren?
No.
Am I in the right time period?
No.
Okay. Before that.
Yes. So what was the first time that the Senate Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on a Supreme Court nominee? Who was the nominee and what was the reason behind it?
Yeah.
So it's a very famous nominee for the court. And second question, Sylvia Plath committed suicide. It's an upbeat question. Sylvia Plath committed suicide in an apartment where what famous person had once lived?
Oh, she Sue Schweik should be here.
But she's not here.
Yeah. I know this. I almost know.
What very famous person lived in that apartment?
As opposed to her mildly famous husband?
Yes.
Okay.
It was another poet, yes?
Yes, it was.
It's a woman, yes?
I'm not giving you any more information. So once more, Sylvia Plath committed suicide in an apartment where what famous person once lived?
Did she commit suicide in New York? Can you tell us that?
I'm not going to say.
Okay. Some of our studio audience should call
it. But I will say, it wasn't in New York.
Okay.
Emily Dickinson.
No.
Yeah. I don't know if she ever got an apartment.
No.
A city dwelling.
She just had a condo, I think, in Florida. Anyway, so leave those out, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ryan in Chicago.
Hi.
For the non-chocolate candy bar with a lousy name, is that Payday?
It's not.
No.
Paydays are awesome, but the actual day that you get pay, I mean, the candy bars are pretty meh, but...
Right. And the one that shrunk, is that's not Twix, is it?
No.
I have a movie question.
Good.
So if you order all of the Best Picture winners by box office gross, what are the two highest adjusted for inflation and the two lowest?
So it's Gone with the Wind first?
Yeah.
Probably. Yep.
And so we're looking for the second highest? Oh, is it The Lord of the Rings, one of them?
No, but that's up there.
Yeah.
So what decade is the second one in?
I think it's late 90s, mid-90s.
Oh, Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
And then the bottom two grossing.
Was the Hurt Locker one of them?
Yeah, Hurt Locker was way at the bottom with about 15 million.
Is Crash one?
Crash, I think, was in the top five or so, but it's not bottom two.
And this is adjusted for inflation. So in other words, you can't. All right. Okay.
Is the other one pretty recent or not?
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Oh, how about, I was going to say Moonlight. It didn't make much money.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Moonlight was just outside of the top two.
Okay.
That's a really good guess.
Okay.
So something kind of artsy.
Now, Bray, we don't know.
Not the greatest show on earth.
Huh? No, not the greatest show on earth.
I can give you a hint or leave it out?
Go, give us one more hint. We'll see.
So it featured a comeback performance.
Oh, a comeback. You mean Sunset Boulevard? No, that's not right.
Not as part of the
that's
plot.
That's not a comeback performance. A comeback performance.
This is pretty recent, as I said.
You're right.
Made a comeback recently?
Yeah, who's made a comeback?
Not Mel Gibson tried, not successfully.
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Not in a Best Picture, though.
No, I'm afraid we're not getting it.
All right, it was Birdman, Michael Keaton.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right, good.
I didn't know that was a comeback for him.
Thanks.
I didn't know he left.
It wasn't a way. Thanks for that question. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Good show.
All right, thanks. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to join us if you have a question or answer. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, teacher emeritus, professor emeritus at Dabo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, it's your turn.
All right. I have a couple questions for you on comedy albums, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay.
They still make them, don't they?
Yeah. As far as I know.
Sorry. Yeah.
So the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences has presented Grammy Awards for recorded comedy since 1959, albeit under a variety of names. Currently, it's known as the Grammy Award for Best Comedy Album. But who won the first Grammy in this category when it was known as Best Comedy Performance?
59.
Bob Newhart.
Mm-mm.
Shelley Berman.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's a good, yeah.
It was.
Right in that time.
It is. Right? It's a little earlier, though.
Little Irvine, okay.
Although she was.
Oh, she.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not she. He. Sorry. Shelley. Right. Don't mind me. Yeah. No, I saw the name and I didn't know who it was.
Yeah,
Shelley Berman's
man.
Yeah.
Okay.
She comes from a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So, 59.
Best comedy performance.
Performance. Right. It's not Newhart.
It's too early for the first family, the Kennedy.
Right.
Yeah.
And
2 years too soon for that.
And you don't necessarily have to give me the name. If you can give me the comedy album that won, or the performance that won, that might be a little easier to name.
Easier to name than the comic?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Was this a straight ahead? I mean, was this person portraying somebody or something in the album?
I think that's fair to say, yes.
So it's not the first family with Vaughn Meader, right?
No.
Okay.
59.
So who's portraying people? Oh,
I didn't say people.
How about Stan Freberg?
No, this person beat two albums by Stan Freberg that year. Two albums by Stan Freberg and one album by Nichols and May. performance.
Those are the other nominees.
Those are the losers.
Huh? Two Freebergs and a Nichols and
Alan Sherman.
Huh?
Oh.
It's a good guess, but no.
Who else is around? It's right around the time. It's too
it's
early
not
for
Nichols
Cosby.
And May, because he said that.
And it's an individual, not a Nichols and May kind of thing.
Correct. All right. The person who won is it's a single person who won. The performance, not a single person.
What?
Neither single nor person.
Eddie Lawrence, the old philosopher.
But that was a complicated hint. Not single. Is the person still alive?
Oh, I have serious doubts.
So this was a performance, and there were other people on the record? Or the person impersonated many voices?
Yes. I know, I don't want to say because I could be wrong about one aspect of this, but there's more than one voice on this performance. They're not people.
Okay, they're not people. So it's Muppets or Kukla Fran and Ollie. Am I getting in the right?
They're not people.
Not people.
There's a person,
but there's then there's characters. Yes.
Not like chipmunks or something.
The
that
chipmunks.
Is it. Yes. Ross
Bagnasarian.
Yes. Yeah. The chipmunk song, Christmas Don't Be Late, the first Grammy Award winner for a comedy performance.
Really?
Beat Nichols and May and Stan Freberg.
Mm. Oh, that they have to go back and fix that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wasn't he William Saroyan's cousin?
Yes, he was. Very good.
No extra charge for that.
All right.
Yep. Well, I can also tell you that only three women have won the award solo. So,
all right, leave that out. Leave that out.
Three women.
Keep it up.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah. I'm wondering what the top five cities are, maybe in the United States and internationally, of percentage of people who bike.
Who bike?
Right, so like percentage of the mocha of bicyclists.
So, I'm sorry, did you say nationally or internationally?
Yeah, well, I kind of have an idea of what the cities would be in the U.S., but also, what would be the world.
I would strongly guess that either Amsterdam or Copenhagen.
Yeah, I would guess Copenhagen for sure.
For nationally, I'd say Amsterdam and Copenhagen for sure. And then, I don't know, Munster, and is there something in Asia, Tokyo, or...
Well,
I don't know.
Ten or 20 years ago, you would have said Beijing, but... There are a lot more cars now than there used to be.
There are a lot.
So I'm not sure where it would stand now. But why don't we can leave it out for people to guess if you like.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, and then, nationally, I would guess, Portland, Minneapolis, Davis, maybe San Francisco.
Right. Boulder, Colorado.
Not sure what the order would be, or if there's another city that I'm not thinking of.
I bet not San Francisco.
No, I doubt San Francisco.
Yeah. Too many hills, but Davis.
College towns.
Davis would be big, yeah. Portland sounds right.
All right.
And good weather is important.
Yeah. We'll leave it out.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. So the American Film Institute put out a list of...
Another one of these dubious lists that they put out.
Yeah, it's not so... It was fun. It's. We'll go with the list. You wouldn't
all
disagree.
Right.
You might disagree.
I'm not going to trash it right away.
This is the 100 greatest quotes from films.
All right.
Okay? And in the top 100, two of them are just a single word, and one of them is a single word repeated.
Well, one of them's Rosebud, for sure.
That is correct.
Very good.
Give her a bell
for
that one. Very good. So another's a single word, another is a single word repeated. And then I also could ask which movie has the most quotes in the top 100, and they have six.
Casablanca as well.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we're looking for a single word and a single word repeated.
Well, not a single word anymore, right?
Well, or is it it'd be like saying Rosebud. But not that.
No, but we're not looking for the single word anymore.
Yeah, no, there's one more
there's
single
one more.
Word,
oh,
and there's
sorry.
One more single word repeated. So there's two left on the top 100. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, are we still, I guess we have to count the, so it can't be the horror.
No,
yeah.
we can't count the. Or we could, but that'd be two words.
Yeah.
It was horror, right. You'd be right. But
oh, I thought you meant that dance.
It's 101st on the list of top 100.
All right.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Ed out in Massachusetts.
Hi,
how
Ed.
Are you?
Good, thank you.
You guys have got me stumped with the questions tonight. I think I might, if I had a little more time, I might come up with one of those single word quotes. But Rosebud came to my mind and the rest are gone. So I'm just going to jump right into my question for you then.
All right.
It's actually a two-parter. First one is, what do the following five people have in common? And it's not just that they won an award. I want something more specific than that. The names are Matthew McConaughey, Jean Dujardin, Forrest Whitaker, Adrian Brody, and Jeremy Irons.
What was it? Who was the second one?
Jean Dujardin.
He was the one in
the artist.
The artist. Yeah.
Oh.
Correct.
Okay.
Forrest Whitaker, Adrian Brody, and who's the last one?
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons and Matthew McConaughey.
So something besides winning an award.
Yeah, best actor award.
Is it within the award? Is it the?
It's more specific than they won an award.
Okay.
Did they win an award for the title character, like a movie with the title character is their name?
No.
Not Dallas Buyers Club, that's right. Don't mind me.
Anything to do with their age? Adrian Brody was the youngest to win Best Actor.
Brody was youngest. No, not their age.
All right. Not their age.
I'm sorry, but it does have something to do with the award that they won, the Best Actor Award?
Very specifically, it's the Academy Award Best Actor.
Right.
But more specific than that.
But sorry. Oh, I was just going to ask, but it's... what it has to do with, it does still have to do with this Academy Award for Best Actor, but there's something more specific. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Hmm.
What did Jeremy Irons win for?
For the one where he played the twins. Where he played Klaus von Bülow.
Right.
Reversal of Fortune.
Reversal of Fortune, thank you.
So did they all play real people?
The characters they played is irrelevant to my question.
Oh, okay.
Although
you may be
close to right.
I think
that.
I am
yes,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was the artist a real person?
Well, that's a good. Yeah.
Except for that one.
That's a mashup. Mashup.
I thought you wanted 4 out of 5. I'm sorry.
Gosh, you have to give us a hint. I'm not picking up anything here.
I can't think what hint to give you.
But it has to do with them winning the Best Actor Academy Award.
What was it? Who they beat?
No.
No.
Did it have to do with something that they did in the film that they won for?
No. It's about their place in Academy history. That doesn't help, does it?
No. Not me, anyway. No, I'm not getting it, Ed.
Why don't I give it to you? Because I want to get on to part two.
All right.
Okay, was it their first time nominated?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You're 3/4 of the way there.
Their second time nominated.
No. It was their first and only time nominated.
Oh.
They're kind of, even it popped Jeremy. In my head, they're like Academy Award one-hit wonders.
Okay.
All right.
Their only time called up on stage, the only nomination was once for Best Actor, and they won it.
Good deal.
Good. Okay.
Now, part two, there are 11 others in history. Can you name, how many of them can you name? And I'm going to specifically take out Roberto Benigni, who had one movie, but he also won for script and was also nominated for director. So he's out of the running. I'm taking out Charlton Heston because he was a one-hit wonder for Best Actor, but he also got the Gene Herschel Humanitarian. And I'm taking out Emil Jannings, who, for whatever reason, and you guys may know this more than I do, he's listed with 2 movies. He won Best Actor in the first year, but is named for 2 movies.
That was not uncommon in the first couple of years. There are probably 6 actors that were nominated for two pictures at the same time.
So I'm taking him out of the running. So with those 3 gone, there are 11 others.
Bradley Cooper.
Not Bradley Cooper.
He was nominated more than once?
Yeah, I think he was.
And this is only for Best Actor, right?
Well, this is, now we're talking about their only time on stage was Best Actor. So they may have won a Best Supporting, they may have been nominated for a Supporting, they may have been nominated for a Writing, but I'm talking about people who were only called up on stage, you know, or nominated for anything once, and it was Best Actor, and they won.
What about Casey Affleck?
Casey actually was nominated once before.
No kidding.
For Best Act. Oh, he was in...
For a supporting role, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see. I have to go through the whole list in my head.
Yeah.
That's the way it works for me.
I'll tell you what. You know what prompted me? Was I was listening to one of your podcasts, and there was a question I think from 3 years ago, about Harry and Tonto.
Oh,
so how about Art Carney?
Art Carney is the one that got this whole question started for me.
Right, so give me a bell at Art Carney.
All right.
He's one and out, huh? All right.
And
there are some big names. These are well-known people.
Oh.
And I was a little surprised that their win was their only flirt with Academy Award.
Not John Wayne. He was nominated more than once.
Yeah.
Some
of the big stars, but like Clark Gable.
He was nominated.
Yeah, Cooper, Stewart, all of them were.
Yeah.
Are many of them since the year 2000?
No. In fact, they're all before that.
All right.
And this is women and men, correct?
No.
Just men. Oh, sorry.
Just men. In fact, if you want to study, I'll hit you up next Sunday with the best actresses.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
How about Paul Muni?
No, he was nominated a couple of times.
Paul Muni is
many
not
times.
On the list, no.
I'm trying to go old school.
Well, I know Dustin Hoffman only won once, but he must have been nominated more than once. Yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
All right, this is going
to
eat up all the time.
So you should give the answer
to
Debbie.
So we should put you on hold and you give the answers. Can you do that? And then we can
do that.
Then we can guess at it, and we can let other people guess at it too.
Sure thing.
All right, thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
They really are. They're big names. Think big.
Okay.
Think big.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
We have 10 more.
Hold on. All right. In the meantime, I'm going to give you a poetry question.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
We're still looking for the Sylvia Plath one.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, yeah. Well, since it's halfway through, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. You Kara, what do you got?
All right. I'm looking for, in the 1960s, what candy bar ran a commercial produced by Stan Freberg in which Frank Nelson plays a company executive who mocks the product's name, saying, and I quote, "This is without a doubt the lousiest name for a candy bar I've ever heard." TV actor BJ Novak brought what candy product to his late night interview with Conan O'Brien in 2007 to prove that, contrary to what the candy manufacturer had been claiming on its website, the product size had indeed dramatically decreased over the previous couple of years. And I'm looking for the three women who have won the Grammy Award for a comedy performance or comedy album solo.
Go ahead.
And we haven't been allowed to guess on that one yet, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we should guess at that. My question, James Taylor, Caroline in My Mind, he says the line, "Holy host of others standing around me," refers to two specific people who were on the recording with him. Who are they? And what Beatles songwriter gave credit to the first line of his famous Beatles song to a line from a James Taylor song? Taser, where does the etymology of taser come from? And the movie quotes from my friend Fred Pollack. I'm looking in the top 100 movie quotes in the American Film Institute. There are two that are one-word answers. We have Rosebud. We're looking for the other two, and one is a repetition of a word. And we got the movie that has the most, Casablanca.
All right. Two questions. Let's see. The first time that the Senate Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on a Supreme Court nominee, and it was in the 20th century, but it's before radio and TV. So who was the justice who was later confirmed, and what was the reason for that public hearing? Second question, Sylvia Plath, the poetess, committed suicide in an apartment where what famous person had once lived? Okay. All right. Now I have a... Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to know if I could take a whack at that. The one-word quote.
Go ahead.
What about Inconceivable?
No. What's that from?
Really? The Princess Bride? Inconceivable. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You have some viewing, sir.
Well, I've seen it. I have some memory to do. Yeah, I don't think it's on the top 100.
All right.
It's Inconceivable. I don't know it. How about on the women albums? Was Joan Rivers one of the winners?
No.
How about Phyllis Diller?
No.
Oh, okay. And I was thinking the one time one hit wonder was John Voight. Debbie, was John Voight one of the actors that was nominated once and won? Didn't he win for Midnight Cowboy?
John Voight. Yeah, that's good. Is that one?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
All right.
No John Voight.
All right. So I'm going to give you second lines of famous poems. And I want you to tell me the first line.
Man. Okay. That's
all tough. Right. These are all
got the wrong audience.
Quite What do you mean? You're
our usual studio.
Oh, you don't have your crutch to lean on tonight, is that it?
I do not.
All right. These are second lines of famous poems. Tell me the first line. Some of them are pretty easy.
How many are there?
There are six.
Wow.
All right. Number one, he kindly stopped for me. Second line.
You going to go through them all?
Yes.
Okay.
Second line, or second poem, that floats on high over vales and hills. That floats on high over vales and hills. Number three, entire of itself. Entire of itself. Remember, these are second lines of famous poems. Number four, mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. Number five, this coyness, lady, were no crime. And number six, a few paternal acres bound. Okay, so I'll just go over them very quickly once more. These are second lines of famous poems. Tell me what the poem is in the first line. Number one, he kindly stopped for me. Number two, that floats on high over vales and hills. Number three, entire of itself. Number four, mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. Number five, this coyness, lady, were no crime. And number six, a few paternal acres bound. Okay,
Kara,
I'll give you each.
Kara, why don't you go first?
One guess.
Oh, thank you, because I think I might know one and that's it. Is the second one, I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud?
That's correct.
Ooh.
By?
Emily Dickinson, who have...
Wordsworth.
Wordsworth, yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. You got the...
Also not have had an apartment in New York, that Sylvia Plath.
I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, that is correct.
They shared an apartment for a while. I know two of them.
All right.
Give me one or two?
I'll give you one to start with.
Okay, the fourth one is Death Be Not Proud by John Donne.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. Death be not proud, though some have called thee.
Okay. So we have... two and four. Okay.
Right.
I know one and a half more.
All right.
I know number five. I know the poet and the poem. I'm just trying to put together the first one.
All right.
What about coyness?
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good evening.
Okay. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me.
Correct. By?
Emily Dickinson, of
right.
course.
Of course.
Sylvia Plath's roommate.
Now try singing that to the Yellow Rose of Texas.
They scan the same way, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do.
I could not stop for death. He kindly stopped for me. It works.
Very good.
Very good.
All right, the candy bar, Kara, is it the Zagnut?
It is the Zagnut.
Oh.
It's a bell.
Ding.
Yep,
very Yay.
Good.
There you go.
Did B.J. Novak bring on an ordinary Hershey bar?
No, he did not.
Okay. Comedy albums, female, Lily Tomlin.
That is correct. This is a recording, 1972.
Yes, and as much as my wife kind of is not too keen on her, Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, calm down, girl. It's 2014.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very good.
The line, Lori...
Holy host of others.
I believe the line is something in the way she moves.
Yes, the song "Something" by George Harrison. Something in the way she moves is the title and the first line of a James Taylor song. Really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
And we're done.
All right.
We're
All right. Thank you, Sparky.
Bye
bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call at area code 415-841-4134 or 866. 798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is James in the Mission.
Hi, James.
So has the non-chocolate candy bar been answered?
Yep. it just got eaten up in the last
Well,
call.
What about, because I was thinking Payday.
No, it turns out it was the Zagnut.
What about the smaller candy bar?
We're still waiting for the answer for that one.
Butterfinger?
Nope.
Hershey's?
Nope. But I'll say again that it is a seasonally appropriate question.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
So it's Burt Lancaster, J.
nominated once for Elmer Gantry and win?
I thought he was nominated for Atlantic City, too, but...
No, maybe From Here to Eternity.
Maybe, yeah.
Burt Lancaster, Debbie, on the list of one-time wonders? Nope, okay. Then he was, all right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Was the BJ Novak candy bar, is that the Cadbury cream egg?
That is correct.
No,
it's,
right.
It's about two-thirds the size of the original cream egg, and Cadbury tried to play it off as, oh, you just got bigger.
Yeah, it's an alternative
fact. They reduced it by a third, huh?
Yeah. More than that.
Outrage.
Taser comes from Thomas A. Swift's electric rifle.
That's correct.
Very good.
Tom Swift's electric rifle. That's correct. That was the name of a book and the thing, and the guy who invented it, that was his favorite book as a kid. Thank you.
Ah.
Very nice.
And let's see, the AFI court, how about Stella?
No.
Good.
Yeah,
that's
it's a
good.
Great
that's
job.
That's a very good
guess.
That
is good, but it isn't in the list, and it should be. Maybe because it's from the play. I don't know.
Oh.
I'll have to check on that. Yeah. That's not
well, Casablanca was a play first also, right?
That's true. So. Well, I mean, they changed it quite a bit, but
yeah.
It started out as a
I'll
play.
I'll bet it wasn't ruled out for that, now that I think about it. Stella, that's good. We'll check. And incredible, too.
Let's see. Sylvia Plath. How about Elizabeth Barrett Browning was the...
No, it was a man, actually.
It was a man. Right. Okay. How about Robert Browning?
No.
Let's see. Public hearing for the SCOTUS nominee. How about Abe Fortas?
That's an excellent guess, but no, before that.
Oh, Frankfurter?
Before that.
Just because I like the name. I'm hungry. top comedy album is Whoopi Goldberg.
She is the third.
Oh, nice.
That's
excellent.
Correct.
Yeah, I knew she was in EGOT, so.
That's good.
Right.
Her original Broadway show, or one-woman show, won the Grammy. Yep.
Excellent. And then, let's see, I've got a couple of questions. Who, it's not a Chuck Berry question, but it's a Chuck Barris question.
All right.
But what famous song did he write?
Palisades Park.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, very good.
I only knew that because I read it in the Obit.
In the Obit, right. And then, what future Oscar nominee and Emmy and Grammy winner first made his first television appearance on The Gong Show?
Whoa. So, future, what was it? Emmy and Grammy?
He's won an Emmy and a Grammy and been nominated for Oscars multiple times.
Okay, so this goes back. The Gong Show was in the 70s, right?
Right.
Could it be somebody like Robin Williams?
No. Good guess. Did not win for acting, or was not nominated for acting.
Oh, okay. What was he nominated for?
For composing.
Composing. All right.
Yeah. That's good. Oh. And won some Emmys, huh? A couple Emmys?
Yeah, won one Emmy and...
also for music? So this is a singer
also
or
for music, yeah. And he's written quite a bit of music that I'm sure you all know.
That person's really famous, right?
Oh,
very.
It's, yeah. Is it... Oh, and then maybe not Mark Shaiman.
No.
Okay. Like Paul Schaefer or somebody like that.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's a good
that's,
guess.
Yeah.
Nope. We don't know.
He was famous for being in a band before he became a composer.
Oh, I was going to say Danny Elfman, but that can't be
Danny Elfman.
Really?
Oh,
yep.
That's
yep.
Good.
The Oingo Boingo performed on the Gong Show way back.
Okay. Oingo Boingo dates back that far. That's a great answer.
Yeah, it was actually started as kind of a comedy thing by his brother, who was a director.
Hmm.
And started as more of kind of a comedy bit. Doing like old 1890s show music, carnival stuff. So, all right, thanks.
Thank you. And Kira, it's your turn.
Okay. I'll give you guys a choice. Do you want Broadway geography, or would you
like
television
Jeopardy.
Dogs?
Well, I would lean towards the Broadway geography.
All right, Broadway geography.
Just to keep my curmudgeonly pet thing going.
Yeah. Then I'll give you the lyric of a song from a Tony Award-winning musical. You tell me the place name that's being described that is also the title of the song. All right, so I'll start with an easy one.
How many are there?
I've got a few. I've got like five. What a wonderful name, named for Albert Gary of Judiciary fame.
Gary, Indiana, music man.
That is correct.
Meredith Wilson, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ask the Gershwins or Kaufman and Hart the place they love the best. Though California pays big for their art, their fan mail comes addressed to...
New York, not Manhattan.
You're very close.
Yeah.
Well, comes addressed to...
But it's from a Broadway musical.
It is from a Tony Award-winning musical.
And the name of the song is the name of the city.
Yes, yeah. Right? Or it's the name of the place.
The
it's not necessarily
place.
A city.
Okay, it could be a neighborhood.
It is,
yeah, okay.
Comes addressed to...
Could you read it again?
Sure. Go ask the Gershwins or Kaufman and Hart the place they love the best. Though California pays big for their art, their fan mail comes addressed
to...
Park Avenue. It's someplace in Manhattan or dealing with Manhattan or New York, isn't it?
It. I will say that, yes, you are correct. So you can think about that one.
Yep.
Okay. Sure, I came out here to make my name, wanted my pool, my dose of fame, wanted my parking space at Warner's. But after a year, a one-room hell, a Murphy bed, a rancid smell, wallpaper peeling at the corners.
That doesn't sound familiar. It sounds cool.
That sounds like Barton Fink.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
It sounds like Hollywood. But
well, it is Hollywood related, but it is not Barton Fink.
Okay, how about Sunset Boulevard?
That's exactly right.
Very
Sunset
good.
Boulevard.
That's what it sounded like. It could be a street.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do one more that I think will probably be pretty easy. They stagger home single file. Tens of thousands of people flood the streets. There are screams and church bells ringing. And as our fallen foes retreat, I hear the drinking songs they're singing, the world turned upside down.
Urinetown.
Because it rhymes?
Because it rhymes and it sounds like a song in Urinetown.
It does.
Yeah.
No.
I thought that was my miracle guess.
All right, leave that out.
Okay.
No. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Yeah. So first time for the apartment where Sylvia Plath killed herself was, I believe that was Yates, right?
It was Yates.
Oh,
yes.
Very good.
Good.
Thank you.
And for the I'm just guessing on the first public hearing for Supreme Court Justice, would that be Oliver Wendell Holmes?
It would not be.
Yeah. Okay. So how about for the one-hit wonders? I've got a few guesses here. How about Tony Curtis?
Oh, Debbie. Tony Curtis on the one-hit
wonders?
No,
he never won, though.
He didn't.
Okay.
That's right.
I thought maybe... Okay. How about Eric Roberts?
Roberts didn't win.
He didn't win either.
How about Ernest Borgnine?
That's one.
That's one. Very good.
For Marty.
How about Kevin Kline?
Yeah, he didn't win for Best Actor.
Yeah.
I think he was only talking about Best...
He was.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, because he was supporting.
Right.
Okay, how about William Holden?
Nope. He's not the answer.
Not the answer,
yeah.
Okay.
And last one, how about Cliff Robertson?
For Charlie.
Oh.
That must be one. Cliff Robertson?
Cliff Robertson?
Yeah,
yes,
that's one. Very good.
Cool, okay, I'll quit while I'm ahead.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
James Taylor song lyric?
Yes.
I'm guessing Joni Mitchell?
No. The song lyric was in the song Something by George Harrison, and the line is Something in the Way She Moves, which is the first line of the Something the title.
Didn't Sparky already answer that one?
Yes.
Okay, so didn't you have a...
Oh, the Holy Host of Others Standing Around Me? No, it wasn't Joni Mitchell in the studio with him.
Was it Andrew Gold?
No.
Was it? Okay, wasn't Linda Ronstadt.
It wasn't.
All right, I'm tapped out.
Those are good guesses. Andrew Gold's a particularly good guess, but that's not who he was referring to.
Great program, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, so I have a very quick question for you. Just one. Okay, what is the most named young woman name on earth?
You mean what is the most common one woman, single?
No, that we speak it, that you know, millions of people speak it daily. On Earth.
Rephrase the question, Ed. Say it again.
Huh?
Say the question again.
Okay. So what is the name of a young woman, a famous young woman, that millions of people say it on a daily basis?
That has nothing to do with the name. They just say
it. It does have something to do with the name. I'll give you a hint because the time is short. It has something to do with cars. Automobiles.
Oh.
Automobiles. You're obvious. Think about it. Which automobile named after a girl? Young girl.
Oh, which automobile is named after a
young girl?
Younger.
Not the Studebaker or the Edsel.
No.
No.
A pretty name. Really pretty name.
Pretty name.
The name, yeah, come from Spanish. Because time is short, I'll give
Sienna.
You...
Sienna.
No, no.
Scirocco.
It comes from Spanish for the word mercy. Maria. Mercy. Mercy. It comes from mercy. Well, you know.
Mercedes?
Mercedes, of course.
There you go.
Of course.
There you
okay.
Go.
So very briefly, who was Mercedes? Was a young girl.
Mercedes young, girl. Was the daughter of...
Of?
Of... Who was it? Adolf Porsche?
No, no.
Or,
no,
mean
Demir
or Daimler.
No, it wasn't his daughter, actually.
Daimler.
No, no. It was the daughter of...
Benz.
You know? No, no, no. It was not their daughter at all.
Her
it
granddaughter.
Was the daughter of some man, Austrian man. His name is Emil Jetlink.
Yeah.
Emil Jetlink. And he happened just to be a distributor for Mercedes. He was actually, he was a diplomat. But he also sold a lot of Mercedes... For Demir Benz.
Yeah.
She's the daughter of a, you know, a wholesaler, more or less. Pretty, very pretty name. Very pretty cars, great cars.
Yeah.
I own four of them at one time.
Thank
you. I own one right now. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thanks.
Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, that must be me.
It is
I've
you.
I've been on hold for a while. I had a couple of answers for you. I've got kind of a scratchy phone connection, though, so I'm just going to give you the answers and not ask you any questions.
Okay.
On Carolina on My Mind, the James
yes.
Taylor song,
yeah.
Was that George Harrison and McCartney and Harrison?
It was. So the
yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
All right.
The Beatles had
yeah,
signed
I
James
have.
Taylor, and they came in the studio. McCartney plays bass in this song, and George Harrison mm-hmm. sings harmony. So listen
yeah.
to it now, and it's even better. Yeah, thank
yep.
you for that.
Okay, and a single word that's repeated
yes.
for the movie quotes, is mm. it toga toga?
You know...
In it, Animal House?
It kind of is and kind of isn't. I had this discussion at home. Toga toga is listed, but it also becomes a chant, and it goes on and on, like Attica, Attica.
Yeah,
so give her a bell
right,
for
right.
that, but there's still
on
one out.
Too long.
There's still a repeated one out there. Toga toga's on the list, ahead of the
okay.
others. Ahead of Stella.
Okay. All right. That's all for tonight.
Thank you.
Let me guess the Thank one you. Of the poems since it's getting late.
All right, go
the
ahead.
Fifth one was To a Coy Mistress by Andrew Marvel, and it's something
that's
like
correct.
If there were world enough in time, but that's not exactly it.
Had we but world enough in time.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
All right.
This coyness lady were no crime.
Yeah, it's
yes.
a great poem. So there's two more of those out there.
Yes.
I don't know either.
And... you have something really short, very
I do.
Quick? All right, go ahead.
Yeah. I found a 1942 Hollywood magazine, and mm-hmm. on the cover, it announced that these four people shared one quality: Katharine Hepburn, Paulette Goddard, Orson Welles, and Monty Woolley. What quality were they on the cover of the 1942 April edition of Hollywood magazine as sharing?
Confidence?
No.
It's a quality.
That's the best way I could describe it.
Arrogance?
No, but...
Long Island lockjaw?
Yeah.
Shockingly, only three of them had that. No, not that.
All right.
Yeah, it's...
closer to arrogance?
It's closer to arrogance than competence. It's not... Yeah, I'm looking at that. It's not something any of them would have wanted.
Oh.
Hubris.
That's well, good.
I don't think they had the hubris, maybe, but it's not that.
All right. Leave it out.
So Hollywood Magazine announced that Katharine Hepburn, Paulette Goddard, Orson Welles, and Monty Woolley in 1942 shared what quality, which was the cover story that month.
Cover story.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call.
That makes it true, of course.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi. I want to guess on the double word quote from the movies.
Yes.
It's got to be Bueller.
You know, that's such a good answer. That isn't what they have. It's why the list is bad. From Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah, Bueller. Anyone, Bueller. But that's not it.
Oh, shoot.
I'd give her a bell anyway.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Are you there, caller? Sorry. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, regarding the poems, has Entire Unto Itself been answered?
No.
John Donne?
Correct. What's
No Man Is an Island?
No Man Is an Island, Entire
right.
of Itself. Very
and,
good.
Kindly Stop for Me, did that already get answered?
It did.
Okay.
It did.
All right, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. I just wanted to guess about the word that is repeated in a movie.
Yeah.
Is that Fiddly D from Gone with the Wind?
It's not. That sounds like a single word, but that's not listed from Gone with the Wind. These are good answers. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. And then one more call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, this is Herb from Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Herb.
What and where is the Elizabeth Tower?
The Elizabeth Tower is Big Ben.
That is correct.
And the Houses of Parliament. That's what they call it.
That is correct. It was just recently named that.
Right.
In 2012 for the Diamond Jubilee of Elizabeth II.
Not Elizabeth right. Taylor, huh?
Yeah, it's Big Ben surprising. Is just the clock.
Big Ben is actually the bell.
The bell, sorry.
Not the clock. But anyway, it's been in the news a lot this week, obviously. So, okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Something I forgot to mention at the top of the show. Last week I was wrong. I left off a couple of the authors whose homes are administered by the National Park Service. There were a couple more on the list,
really?
Which, of course, I don't have in front of me.
Oh.
But I was called to account by some of our listeners, and I appreciate that very much.
Were they any of the ones people called in with?
Like, that's what I get from going to Wikipedia. Pond? What's that?
Were any of them, because people called in with, like, Walton Pond and stuff, were any of them that?
One of them, at least one of them yeah. was, yeah.
Okay.
But I can't remember which one now. I'm sorry, I didn't write. Anyway, so we better clean up here. Kira, what do you have?
All right. Go ask the Gershwins or Kaufman and Hart, the place they love best. Though California pays big for their art, their fan mail comes addressed to NYC from Annie. And they stagger home single file. Tens of thousands of people flood the streets. There are screams and church bells ringing as their fallen foes retreat. I hear the drinking song they're singing. The world turns upside down. That's Yorktown from Hamilton.
Oh, all right.
Saw it, didn't know it. Catherine Hepburn, Paula Goddard, Orson Welles, and Monty Woolley in 1942 were the most hated people in Hollywood.
Oh, rough.
Yeah, how about that? And of the AF American Film Institute movie quotes, we got Rosebud. The two we're missing are plastics from The Graduate, of course.
Yes.
Right.
And the repetition was la-di-da, la-di-da from Annie Hall.
Annie Hall.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, is that it for you? Oh, okay.
I have a couple.
I think so. That's right. All I have out.
The first time the Senate Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on a Supreme Court nominee, that was for Louis Brandeis in 1916. He happened to be the first Jewish nominee at the Supreme Court, and there was some undercurrents of trouble with that. So, but he ended up being confirmed.
Shocking.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, I think the only second line of famous poem nobody got, A Few Paternal Acres Bound, and that's by Pope. It's happy the man whose wish and cave. Happy the man whose wish and cave. Anyway, it's Ode to Solitude. So
and
there you go.
We need the 10 actors.
We need the rest of the actors.
These are the actors only nominated once for Best Actor and won on the first try. F. Murray Abraham, Art Carney, Lee Marvin, David Niven, Yul Brynner, Broderick Crawford, Ray Milland, Paul Lucas, and Warner Baxter.
Interesting.
It is a good list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Kira Pace, technical editor, professor emeritus from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call. And we're actually ending on time tonight. So have a great week, everybody. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Thank you. Bye-bye.